It's
an
odd one.
Hey, oddballs. I'm your host, Jensen, and welcome to episode 68. I am telling you right now that you are going to get hyper Jensen today, and I am going to apologize. I have had enough coffee. We're going to learn about a mythical creature today, so here we go. It's
lesson time.
Today's mythical creature lesson is about a ghoul. Ghouls have a bad reputation. They're legendary creatures from Arabic mythology, believed to be evil spirits that feed on human flesh. Ghouls represent the fear of death and the darker aspects of our subconscious. Finding a ghoul haunting your dreams could signal you to explore and confront your deepest fears and anxieties so you can free yourself from their grip and find inner peace. Yeah, you should probably just fix that shit real quick because ghouls are terrifying. Can you please stop right now and go look that up? Because it's terrifying. And actually, if you're driving, please don't do that unless you're pulled over safely. But no, that's terrifying. So please fix your stuff because I don't want anybody to experience that. I hope you learned something because I did. And we're going to move on to stories.
This comes from Cinemom of 3 on Reddit.
When my daughter N was 2.5 years old, I noticed she was getting more creative with her imagination. She would talk to people who weren't there, and she would play games through the house, and it was as if there was another child there. But we didn't always have kids around, so I was fine with her having an imaginary friend. One night, I had her in the bath, and she was very focused on the bathroom door. She was waving and motioning toward herself, as if she were asking someone to come into the bathroom. I asked her why she was doing this, and she told me her friend wouldn't come in. She wanted him to take a bath. I asked her why. She said he was always really dirty. I asked her who this little boy was, and she told me she didn't know his name. But he lives here too, and he says where he sleeps is cold and wet, and he hates it. I told her it's okay. Maybe he will take a bath later. I got her out of the shower and put her in her jammies. She immediately went to the living room couch and opened a Sesame Street book and started telling her invisible friend all about Big Bird, Bert, and Ernie. Her dad shrugged this off, but it made me wonder where she came up with all of that. I told my mother-in-law about what happened at bath time, and she made me call the person who we were renting our home from. She was a family friend, who told me that it would make a lot of sense if she was communicating with the ghost of a little boy who had passed away on the property back in the early days. Like, way back when. She told me that some papers from possibly a journal had been recovered from that land, and it was written in them that the boy who lived on the land had fallen ill and died unexpectedly. The family, for unknown reasons, put the boy in the well, and she knew this to be true because human bones had been recovered from that well some 20 years prior. She told me this was all documented and found true to the best of her knowledge. I have always been an empath of sorts, and I knew to look into this because my daughter, although she is very charismatic to those she knows, is not an extrovert, and she has never put herself out there. So, pretending to be super sweet to an imaginary friend was weird to me in a way. For the next few weeks, we experienced weird stuff. Like, one day, I was spring cleaning and took a mirror off my bedroom wall to put it on another wall, and for the time being, I washed it with Windex and covered it up with a blanket, facing it toward the living room wall to get it out of my way before I put it back up. At this time, the neighbors were helping us rearrange our house, and their son was playing within in the living room. I hear an ear-shattering scream and run in to see my child bleeding from her hand, and the neighbor's son holding a huge pair of fabric scissors. I knew these scissors were put away in the computer desk that they were playing near. I took the boy to his mama and asked her to take him home. She asked him where the scissors came from, and he said the other boy told him where they were. When I went back and picked this mirror up and uncovered it, there was a little footprint in the bottom left corner of the mirror. I compared it to my daughter's footprint and the neighbor's kid's foot, and it just wasn't the right size for either kid from what I could tell. And the mirror never got moved by anyone else. I would try to wash that footprint off several times after that, and it never came off. Other things happened as well. Like, I would hear N playing in her room, and I could swear I heard someone talking or laughing with her. But when I would go to the room to check on her, it stops. Things would go missing for a few days, and then appear right where I knew they originally were. My animals wouldn't go into the upper level of my house, and sometimes wouldn't go near N, even though N would never hurt a living thing. I gave birth to another little girl in March of that year, and soon after we were home from the hospital, we found out our home's rent was going to be raised, and we decided to move. We had a friend who rented her mobile home out to us, and we lived there for a few months, where we had more activity. My younger daughter, E, was just an infant, and I had her bassinet put up in between my side of the bed and the wall in my room. We had a sweet three-legged pitty named Sammy, who attached himself to E and slept at the foot of our bed to guard her bassinet while she slept. I also always slept with my hand on the bassinet, so I could feel her if she started waking up or if she stopped breathing. For several nights in a row, I would wake up to the bassinet rocking up and down along the side of my bed. This shook me at first, but I realized fairly quickly that our little spirit was probably doing it. So I finally just asked him to stop and told him that he can play when she gets up. And it stopped. And it never happened again. A close high school friend came around a lot, and I told her all about the little boy, but she didn't believe me. One day, N is running around the house with her little pink princess ball, and she says, "Aunt Kay, watch my friend." She tossed the ball down the hall, and for a few long minutes, nothing happened, but eventually the ball starts slowly rolling back toward N from the bedroom at the end of the hall. Kay was then freaked out, but thankfully it didn't scare her enough to stop coming around. One day, we had a bad storm, and our electricity went out. As we were waiting that day to have it come back on, we got a knock at the door, and it was an electrician company worker telling us that the power pole to our house had fallen. He said we couldn't stay there for safety reasons, so I called my mom who lived close, and he gave the girls and me a ride over. My family stayed there until we were able to get an apartment a couple towns over. On that first night, everything changed for me when it came to this boy, and I learned my lesson about inviting things that follow my family. We were all sleeping in my mom's living room. E and I were lying on the couch, and N was on a blow-up mattress with her dad on the floor. E was very riled up and wouldn't go to sleep. She was around 9 months old at the time, and she had pulled herself up over the arm of the couch so she could see down the hallway. I kept trying over and over to pull her down and make her lay down, but she kept getting herself up. She even began pointing and saying, "Bo!" Finally, after fighting her to lay down for far too long, I patted her bottom to show my assertion. She began crying when suddenly I felt a terrifying rumble in the floor next to the couch where my head would lay for the night, and a cold burst of air hit the back of my neck. Their father even felt this and shot up, asking who was running through the room at 11 p.m. I freaked out. I grabbed E and ran to my mom's bedroom. I was streaming tears while I told my mom what had just happened. She agreed with me when I told her that I felt threatened and that this little boy probably didn't like my authority over E. She smudged us, circling us 3 times with burning sage, and she asked me to tell the boy to go find his place with his family and to no longer follow my family. I did this with as much force as I could. And thankfully, we never had experiences related to him again. From that point on, I've always had my mom, who is pagan and practices Wicca, come and bless my house, and I've always kept clear crystals in the windows to help bring positive energy. Yeah, no, I'm sorry, but not in my world. I would have been done with it the second the neighbor's boy stabbed her hand. Absolutely not. I'm done. Because if he's blaming the little boy, that's not good. To me, that seems like the little boy is like jealous or something over in, and I'm good. I'm out. We're done. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, boy. Imaginary friends are so freaking scary because, like, while they could be sweet, no, just like, no, I'm sorry, no. I know that spirits on the other side, like, need friends or whatever, but they don't need them that bad to where they're gonna follow you to every house. I don't know. I just don't like it. That's all. I just really don't like it. So if you've had an imaginary friend, let me know. And we're gonna move on to the next story.
This comes from JaRush34 on Reddit.
I really don't believe in the supernatural, but when I tell you when this happened, my heart dropped. When I still lived in the Philippines, my sister and I shared a room on the second floor. At the time, my aunt went out to run errands, so it was just my sister and me at home. We shared a room, and we were just hanging out in there with the door closed. While we were talking, there was a sudden, frantic knocking on our room door. You know how you become familiar with the way your family members knock? This knock didn't sound familiar at all. The knocks were quick. As much as I wanted to think that my aunt was already back, something made me think otherwise. My sister and I looked at each other, because we knew, deep inside, something felt off. She slowly walked to the door to open it, and behold, no one was fucking there. It happened twice. Literally no one was fucking home, and to this day, I still have no explanation for what happened. Okay, absolutely not. Why do spirits feel the need to frantically knock on the door just to scare the shit out of you, I guess? I mean, you could run with so many different theories on this. Like, let's break it down to who this spirit is. How did they die? Did they die by, like, running away and frantically knocking on a bunch of people's doors because something was after them? Or are they just an asshole spirit on the other side just knocking on your door? Like, I'm not going to get into all the details. I've had too much coffee and my brain is wired. So if you want something like that where I just spout off theories for the rest of the freaking episode, I can do that. But I'm not going to do that here because I want to know what your theories are. And I want to know, have you had an experience like this? Because if you have, let me know. If you've had an imaginary friend or anything like that at all, any paranormal story, I'm here for it. Let me know what it is. And I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and well, it's an odd world after all.
Oddballs, go follow us on It's an Odd World After All podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Also, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If you have a story you would like to share, email us at itsanoddworldafterall@gmail.com or message us on one of our social platforms. Don't forget to share us with your family and friends. And check out our website, itsanoddworldafterall.com.